My first guest of the afternoon is on the line. She's Dr. Nerissa Ramdhani. She's Chief Executive Officer at the Ifaletu Foundation. And they're bringing us an exhibition of artworks that celebrate resilience and art from South Africa's apartheid years. The exhibition is called Still We Rise. Dr. Ramdhani, thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thank you, Simon. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Perhaps a really good place to start this afternoon is tell me a little bit about the Ifaletu Foundation and its connection to art and what it does.
The Ifaletu Foundation started out as an arts organization in 2005 with the former Minister of Arts and Culture, Dr. Paolo Jordan, and the Australian government and the High Commission in South Africa. And it arose through the efforts of two former Australian diplomats, Diane Johnston and Bruce Haig, who approached South Africa in 2003 with a view to donating artworks purchased during their posting in the countries in 1970s. And this made us realize that there must be a host of such artworks across the world. Mm. And that's what began our journey of repatriation.
So characterize for me, Still We Rise. What is it? What does it comprise of?
Well, the exhibition is, it brings together artworks from Ifaletu and the SABC art collection. And they are rooted in memory, resistance, and resilience. And it showcases artworks created during the struggle era, with a few from post-apartheid South Africa. And together, these works highlight the courage and creativity of artists who persevered despite censorship, exclusion, and violent oppression. And it does include artworks by celebrated, well-known artists, as well as artists who, often due to the constraints of apartheid, didn't experience much of the limelight. So they do show us, you know, how despite the oppressive laws, they found new ways to rise and overcome adversity.
Very powerful message you're talking about here this afternoon, that's for sure. How did you even know where the works were? I mean, I would imagine they were worldwide with people that weren't necessarily well known. How on earth do you go about curating an exhibition of this type?
You know, when I was first appointed to the foundation upon its founding in 2005, I recall the media asking me, do you know where to find this? I said,
exactly.
No. Do you know anything about this? I said, no.
No.
All I know is that we had these wonderful donations from these two former Australian diplomats, and it made our government realize that there must be a host of artworks out there. But it was an incredible journey locating these artworks. And I must, really emphasize, they were, these were purchased by outsiders who were posted in South Africa during the apartheid years. And they knew they were temporary residents. Most of them were foreign diplomats or journalists. And they were visionaries because they were able to see the rich potential of these artworks and purchase them. And of course, through the various diplomatic networks, we were able to locate people in 16 countries who donated back to South Africa without requesting any financial reimbursement.
I believe
so. It's a wonderful story.
It certainly is, and it's part of our heritage and something to be celebrated, that's for sure. I'm just wondering,
absolutely,
I believe that some of the works were created by those in exile, and I'm wondering whether that is something that is tangible from the work itself. Does being away from home reflect itself in the works that they created? Is there a difference between, in your opinion, the works that were created by the exiles overseas versus those that remained in South Africa?
Okay, now let me correct this. The artworks that we have were created by artists in South Africa.
Interesting, okay.
Then not in exile.
Okay.
But, I mean, what's interesting is that, remember, there were years of the cultural boycott and artists were therefore unable to experience international art. So this led to a very particular form of expression which came directly from these experiences.
It's interesting because I personally know very little about art. I remember growing up during those times, and protest theatre was so incredibly powerful. It could be argued that to some extent, plays like Wazza Albert and the like actually helped create a consciousness and a fertile ground that led to the change that we also wanted. I'm wondering whether that same movement was tangible in the art world, as in art painting world.
No, there wasn't such a movement. I mean, from my experience, having to begin this journey in 2005 and, you know, all my research did not indicate that there was such a movement.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And so, as I said, you know, with the cultural boycott, they were unable to experience any of these, you know. And these works, remember, were made purely for the streets and had to be disseminated secretly. I mean, one of the our founding donor, Diane Johnston, used to host cocktail parties at her apartment in Sunnyside. And she was on the verge of being arrested by security police in the 70s because she was hosting black artists in her apartment.
Quite amazing story. Amazing. And it's our history. It's our, you know, it belongs to all of us. It sounds absolutely fascinating. If one was interested in viewing the works, where are they on exhibition and how does one see them?
Well, the exhibition opens on the 30th of October at the atrium at Keys Art Mile in Rosebank, and it runs through until the 23rd of November 2025, because remember, this exhibition is being put up to align to the G20 meeting in South Africa.
Okay, interesting.
So, you know, it would conclude after the heads of state meeting on the 22nd, 23rd of November.
How many works are on display, Dr. Ramdani?
We have about 35 on display.
I certainly am going to be one of those in the audience. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Very interesting to discover a part of our heritage and our culture that I knew nothing about.